Welcome to the motherfucking bonus feed. That's right. It's the show you pay for. What's up, worst week yetters? Worst week. Are you having your worst week? Good. It's about to get a little better. Hi, everybody. It's us. It's the show.
We're here.
We have somebody else here with us. Friend of the show. Friend of the me. First timer on the worst week yet. Welcome, Trevor Austin, to the show. Hello, Trevor.
Hey, all. How are we doing?
Oh, I'm good. Kennedy's got a sandwich.
Bonus feed, babe.
I got a sandwich.
Kennedy T. Cooper with a sandwich locked and loaded.
I'm here. We are here to talk about potentially one of my favorite subjects. Our favorite subject, which is 9/11. We never forget. No. we couldn't forget if we tried. Wait, Deanna, didn't you forget 9/11 once?
Yeah, actually, on 9/11, we were like halfway through the episode, and I was like, oh shit, it is 9/11 today, huh?
You had one job. You were told specifically not to forget.
Listen.
That was all you had to do.
That was like right, that 9/11 is right after my birthday. I was a little hungover, okay? Don't worry.
Is that how it happened?
You should reschedule your birthday.
On watch? On the original 9/11?
Yeah, I was sleeping in 7th grade English class, and that's why the planes hit the towers.
That's crazy. Yeah. I was in 7th grade English class.
Whoa.
This is really not that crazy.
This is the real conspiracy.
Yeah, right? Everybody says that. I'm sure you were in English class, just like the rest of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I noticed that there were four unusual students in English class that day that I hadn't seen before.
One of them was in hijab.
But you could tell she was a man.
Sweaty.
Yo, I immediately wanted to bring that up. That was the first part of that documentary that rang loud. I was like, whoa.
So to introduce the this week, listeners, we are talking about, Deanna, what's it called?
It's called Fox News Presents TMZ Investigates 9/11, The Fifth Plane.
Which,
what a name. What a shit smeared lens to look at anything through. Like Fox News presents a TMZ investigation.
TMZ is the most trusted name in cable news. Mm-hmm. I go with TMZ for most of my shit.
Listen, TMZ, fair and balanced.
What stressed me out about it is that, like, typically I trust TMZ more than Fox News, but then, like, they teamed up and I felt confused. I didn't know what was going on.
I trust TMZ more than my immediate family.
Yeah. So, listeners, we will be spoiling this documentary. If you don't want the integrity of the documentary to be spoiled before you get a chance to watch it, I advise you to check it out. It is available for free on Hulu, or if you just type it in, I found it like on a link. You could just watch it on your phone. However, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say you don't need to.
If you don't want to spoil,
I just want to point out though that you could watch it in probably less time than we will spend talking about it. It's literally 42 minutes long.
It is real quick, and it does not feel like it.
They cover the whole thing in the commercial.
Yeah,
like the whole entire, the title covers what it is.
Yeah, there is not actually that much more to the story. But if you don't want spoilers about 9/11 itself, tune out 22 years ago.
So it all started in the 90s whenever Biggie Smalls said blow up like the World Trade. Okay, life imitates art, but sometimes art imitates life, which is imitating art. It's life and art all the way down, folks. So we watched this documentary, and here's the thing, like, right immediately I was excited because, like, the commercial, like the little preview trailer for this documentary was like saying, like, we talked to people who were on this plane who think that they may have been part of another plane that was going to go who knows where. And we talked to them, and that's then the documentary is just like basically the commercial. Like, there's nothing else. There's not, they saved nothing for this.
Also,
for the documentary.
Like, the people that they talked to were like two racist flight attendants. And like, Deb and Sharon, thanks for your fucking.
Also, they keep saying stuff like, we emailed packages of our feces to the United CEO and he did not respond. The other thing that amazed me about this is not only is it like when they say stuff, is it non-factual, but it's also like 45 seconds between each sentence. Like, they'll be like, well, I was getting ready. It seemed like a normal day. Just a regular flight. And then 45 seconds of like dramatic piano music
and like some people walking around an airport putting on like one of those like striped flight attendant cravats.
Cravat?
Yeah.
I believe you that's what they're called, but I've never heard that word before.
Yeah, it's in a Tenacious D song.
Oh.
See? I think.
It's actually just the French word for tie.
See, that's my
issue. Don't know who did it first. It's Tenacious D, the French.
It's the freedom word for fries. Thank you.
I did learn more. I learned about the anatomy of a plane a little bit more than I knew.
I think the only benefit, like educational information in this.
Yeah, I was like,
oh,
look,
I felt bad for that
door.
Guy though, because I feel like they probably told him like you're going to be on an episode of How It's Made. Because he's just like happily sure. He's like, yeah, here's how you get in and out of the access hatch in a plane.
Yeah, I did actually feel like I could more successfully hijack a plane now. So thank you for that.
At the very least, sneak onto it and like the fifth, do weird stuff.
The fifth plane 22 years later.
Look, there's a 9/11 every year. It's 9/11 somewhere. Was that...
That's close.
So this documentary opens up and it's just like they got the pilot of this plane. And first of all, my number one point here is the co-pilot of that plane has since died. I smell a conspiracy here. What does she have to hide? Did she die or was she taken out?
Wait, oh, she died after the fact?
Yeah, like I think they said that she died in like 2004. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Where she had to tell her side of the story.
Okay, so some background here. A big part of the reason Andrew had me on here today is because I firmly do believe that 9/11 was an inside job. And I've made it kind of a big chunk of my personality. It's like, I don't have Twitter, but it would be in my bio. I'm a big 9/11 guy. It's just fun
I'm
for
a
me.
Big 9/11 guy.
Yeah, a little bit about me, big 9/11 guy, dude. It's on my Hinge profile.
One thing to know about me. Amazing.
Honestly, after that speech, I have to say, you need to get a Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah, you were built for it for sure.
9/11 is big on Twitter.
Being a big 9/11 guy on Twitter is like, you could make a whole career out of that.
It's so saturated, you know? I want to stand out in the 9/11 world.
You just got to find your niche, you know? Maybe this fifth plane stuff.
I could be the fifth plane guy. It was my first conspiracy theory. It was my first one, and that's always special, you know?
You always remember your first.
Yeah, you always remember your first, and it was uncomfortable, you know? But I knew what to do. But
my favorite cryptid is the CIA agent that did 9/11.
Well, I was so infatuated with it, and... like I was at the right age, and when someone showed me, I still have the burnt DVD version of Loose Change.
You got the bootleg.
Bootleg. I have so much bootleg stuff, dude. It's gonna be so worth it when it all gets taken off the internet. I have it all. I'm gonna be the internet in 20 years. But I really
You're gonna leak it on TikTok.
I got so into it. So when this happened, I was kind of like, oh yeah, it felt almost like. When like Hollywood releases a nostalgic movie and you're like, oh, it's going to be so cool. Another Ghostbusters, you know, it's like, they're doing another 9/11 documentary. Yes. I can't wait. I was let down. I wasn't like, you know, there wasn't,
I was upset.
There wasn't much to it. Yeah.
My overall.
They really did present it. I just want to say they really did present it kind of like a Marvel movie. Like I really felt like this was like 9/11 done by a Hollywood studio, how they just kept being like, and then something shocked the nation. And then just dramatic music for 75 seconds while the plane hits one of the towers.
I like that.
It's just like, okay, this is not informational, even on the most basic sense.
Yeah.
I like that every time they showed the footage of the planes hitting the towers, they cut at the moment of impact and then like picked it back up like 2 seconds later when it was just a fireball. Like, we can't show the plane itself.
They're like, we don't have the rights to the plane.
Just to keep people questioning. Yeah.
We don't have the rights to the plane actually hitting the building. Walt Disney owns those. So
no, they reached out to American Airlines to get consent to show the plane, and they didn't respond to their emails.
Well, they gave the trigger. They gave a trigger warning at the beginning. They're like, this shows graphic footage of the 9/11 attacks. And I was like, I kind of like mild footage of the 9/11 attacks.
Soft core 9/11 footage, not the hardcore, not the triple X.
Yeah, I don't want to see the plane penetrate the building.
Did you know? Did you know whenever they showed the footage of 9/11 in Japan, it was pixelated? Never mind.
I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
9/11 right. was the original double penetration.
Damn.
My favorite DP porn is 9/11.
It was more like a train. It wasn't the same time.
Yeah, true, true.
Yeah, it's only...
But I feel like the first plane was still inside the first building when the second plane entered.
That's
like,
a good
the
point.
First plane did not pull
well,
out.
The leftovers of it were in there, and that's what sucks about going second. I'd like to meet the second pilot. He was probably like, I don't give a shit, dude. I'll go whenever.
See, we should have been hired to make this documentary, first of all.
Our listeners are getting so much information.
I feel like us as a group could make an incredible 9/11 documentary. Just
I don't like this documentary. And here's the thing. I'm pretty skeptical about a lot of 9/11 conspiracies, although I think that in my opinion, the most believable and probably truest one is that the government shot down the fourth plane, as opposed to it just happenstance. Some passengers took it over and crashed it. I think we shot it down, which, like, whatever.
Fine.
Yo.
Here's the thing is that, like,
whatever.
It's kind
whatever.
Of, it's much kind like, of the right thing to do in that situation.
Yeah,
much
yeah,
like the
yeah.
second guy in a train. Sometimes you just gotta say whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Fuck it. And one of my biggest concerns.
Sometimes you just gotta shoot down that fourth guy, though.
Yeah.
I think that's the real moral here.
Yep. Too much.
You lose. My biggest thing with a lot of 9/11 conspiracies is that, like, some of them are so vast and far reaching that, like, within the 20 years since it has happened, there should have been more people that were involved that, you know, like, gained a consciousness and came forward. Now, I know that that's not, like, you know, proof or anything, but that's just, like, my feeling is that, like, I can't believe this many people kept quiet for this long. And so my thing is...
Or did they? The co-pilot died.
Yeah.
My thing is going into
the
this...
The day she downloaded Twitter.
That was, like, kind of informing my opinion going into this is that, like, these people... For 21 years have thought that they were on another plane that was going to get hijacked, that they, and they're just now saying anything about
yeah,
it.
Like, it's what? Weird. And I mean, there is, you could say there's like a control of the information. As I got older, because, like, I fully believed all of it was a full-blown inside job, and I spent another 10 years of my life trying to see, well, who, you know, like, which guy did it. And then as I got older, I think what is a likely scenario that at least helps me sleep at night is maybe they covered up their epic failure of national security, thus leaving a lot of blanks. Because, like, the 9/11 Commission report is a really bogus document. Like, they left this whole fifth plane thing out, whether it's valid or not. Like, you'd think it's worth a mention in a however much money they spent on that report. They didn't mention, like, they found other box cutters and... You know, it's like so much wasn't even mentioned on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of generally what I believe, honestly, is that, like, they are covering up for something, and it's their own incompetence.
Right.
It's their own incredible, unbelievable incompetence. Because it's very much the thing of, like, you know how every time there's, like, a horrible shooting, the FBI is like, we were aware of the shooter.
Yeah.
And it's like I feel like it's that, but on such a large scale, you know? It's like, how can they just come out and say, we were aware of the plane hijacking?
Yeah.
Possible. Like, you can't just say that, you know, because it's like, it's so much more extreme. So it's like, but that's probably, that, in my opinion, that's probably what's.
Do you guys know about the guy? There was a guy who lived in Arizona with three of the hijackers, and he said he notified the FBI, like, on several different occasions, and they kept rescheduling the interview with the guy.
No.
And his last reschedule, they were like, we can't see you today, but we will see you. The last time he was supposed to go meet and talk about these guys, I know they have a plan, was September 12th. That's a wild one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the kind of scheduling that we do here at Worst Week Yet, so I can understand.
We're all just dogs in the universe's hot car.
What?
I don't know. Shit, nothing makes fucking sense. Like, the fact that that guy was supposed to meet, like, that he was trying to meet with them, and then, like, the meeting was going to be on September 12th.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the kind of info you won't get on Hulu. That is in my top drawer in a shoebox on a burnt DVD labeled Play If I'm Murdered. But it's a crazy thing. It was covered briefly on news and then just, like, forgot about. But
yeah, I feel like I definitely think that there's like that's like the most plausible thing is that like they knew that there was going to be some hijackings. Maybe they didn't know exactly when, but like they were, because weren't they also like kind of following some of the hijackers? Like, weren't they aware that they were like doing pilot school and shit?
Yeah, some of them lived on military bases. Like, their address on their driver's license is a military base. So, like, and, like, if nothing else, that's curious, you know? Like, wait, what? Wait?
And, like,
and, I mean, of course, there's all these, there's all this murky history, you know, where we funded Al-Qaeda in, you know.
Well, the brave Mujahideen.
Right, the brave Mujahideen, rather. Sorry.
Wait, and is that so, scene? I've seen a screenshot from one of the, not Rocky, with Sylvester Stallone, with the Rambo, one of the Rambo movies. I've seen a screenshot of that, but then I heard it was fake. Where like the it was like at the end of the movie, like a title card, like, this film is dedicated to the brave Mujahideen fighters trying to secure their freedom or whatever.
I believe the shit out of that. Yeah. I don't even want to check. I want that to be it, dude.
Throw it in the top drawer.
We yeah, could find out, but we won't.
Super true.
Much like the FBI, we could find out, but we won't.
I'll tell you what is real. There's a video of, I want to say maybe Bush Sr. or somebody meeting with them in the White House, like meeting with a bunch of Mujahideen
okay
folks, and like some of them are like, there's like a few people in there that like are like theoretically may have helped plan 9/11 later, and it's just like very trippy to just look at this, you know. And it's just like they're like, yeah, you know, we support what you're doing.
Yeah, and like just the very fact that still 20 years later, like the United States government really won't admit that Saudi Arabia had anything to do with it. It's like, it, at the very least, you're covering for them. Like,
yeah, there was Bin Laden's cousin used to be very good friends with George Bush. And the Bin Ladens are like a powerful family in Saudi Arabia. You know, the old Bin Ladens. And they called the guy, I think the guy's name was Bamdar. And people lovingly referred to him as Bamdar Bush. He was like which happens to be my favorite Bush.
Yeah.
my favorite of the Bushes is definitely Bamdar.
What's your favorite Biden?
Yeah, it's a good choice.
Oh, dog. Hunter all day. Hunter all day, dude.
It was Champ, but Hunter, yeah, Hunter's taking the cake. Champ's the dog that kept biting Secret Service people.
Oh, no way.
Or was that Major? I don't know.
He
killed
Champ.
I think he killed
bit.
The dogs.
Yeah, we haven't seen them in a while. They're probably dead.
Suspiciously absent from public view, the Biden dogs.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's talk
say,
about
this
that.
This whole fifth plane thing is, you get to the end of it, and it becomes clear that it's all just a disability fraud scheme.
Wait, what?
I didn't catch that.
Is that?
Oh, yeah. Okay. No, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like at the end of it, they're all like, they all start talking about, after all of this like weird nonsensical garbage about like our plane may have been targeted, we're basing this on the fact that there was someone in a burqa that we felt like misgendering, and that another guy was sweaty.
When I found out that the plane actually didn't leave the ground, like when I found out that this was a plane that never took off, like this was just like three people who were like, we saw some brown people on the plane. We could have been next. Like,
I think every single person who was on a flight within like the, not just on 9/11, but within like 6 months after, if there was a single brown person who we're next, six months.
I was waiting for the end of the documentary to say this was in 2012. You know,
they even mentioned that towards the end of the documentary in the portion that I'm talking about. They even mentioned that, like, you know, they tried to deny the case because they were like, anybody that saw 9/11 could basically claim that they felt scared the way that you did. And it's like, yeah, that's true. That's actually true. Like, anybody that just was watching TV or was living in America at all could basically just claim the same kind of emotional distress. And so that's like the whole end of this movie is largely about, or at least one of the last chunks of this movie is largely about them just sort of revealing that this is all about this claim that they made that they couldn't work anymore because they were so freaked out by the fact that they were almost hijacked, maybe in their imagination. And
they were the first, like, documented cases of Havana syndrome.
Yeah, they were like, we got Havana syndrome for sure.
They were in a satanic they came on panic the plane about brown with a people.
Cuban device.
So let's go over the evidence put forward in this documentary. And that's that.
Wait. Actually, coming up next, we're going to go over the evidence put forward in this documentary.
One of my favorite parts is when, like, the voiceover is like, can you give any other possible, legitimate, reasonable explanation for this thing that has 1,000,005 explanations other than this one?
45 minutes of silence, and then
can't think of a thing. Can't think of one other thing it could be. Like, what? I thought of four while I was waiting for you to talk. What?
So here's the case that they're making. So this is being told by a pilot and two or three flight attendants. No, I think two flight attendants and somebody that worked on like doing meal prep for the planes who was also on the plane. So their evidence as they present it
the
is
purser.
That,
coming up purser. Next, the evidence as they presented it. I'm sorry. I'm just going to have to keep doing that bit because
it's fucked up for those
of you who haven't seen it in the documentary, they keep being like, coming up next, and then showing someone's entire statement, and then less than 3 minutes later, showing you that exact same statement again. Like, it's not coming up.
Yeah.
It's not coming up like in some part in the distant future. It's like literally the next thing that they're going to show you, pretty much, or maybe like there's one tiny thing
in between. They could have crammed it into an Instagram reel.
Yeah.
And I feel like Reels Network would have done a better job with it.
For sure. The other thing is I don't pay for Hulu, so I had to watch this with ads. So I did not realize that those bumpers between each ads would still be there in the version that Yin's watched.
Oh, yeah.
It's even funnier if there's no ad version.
If you remove all the scenes that they showed twice in this documentary, it'd be like 5 minutes long tops. Like,
no, totally. If you took all the, because also there's all the long silences and shit. If you took it down to just what little quote unquote information there is in this, it could not be longer than 10 minutes, period. Yeah.
All right, so let's build the case here. And, you know, we're just like,
okay, TMZ. Yeah, let's review. Hold on. We're being too critical. Let's review the facts.
We're just like TMZ. We are fair and balanced. So I want to, let's see. Let's go over what the facts are as they're presented in this documentary. One is that there were four passengers in first class who were brown, appeared to be Muslim, I guess, or of some Middle East. They didn't really say. They just, they like kind of alluded to it, which like part of me is like,
yeah,
do they
not
want
to come
out and say it?
Yeah, it was a very funny thing where it's like, they didn't really want to say it or weren't allowed to say it or something. So they just kept being like, there were these four people in first class. There were four people in first class. There were four. And it's like, okay, is it alarming if some people sit in first class? Like, what exactly?
Well, yeah, it's alarming that the non-white people would be in first class.
But the point is they don't explicitly say
right.
any of that.
They don't say
well, they didn't ask. Very... They could have been Scientologists. We don't know.
They didn't explicitly say it. They didn't say it, but I will say that the footage that they were showing while not saying it was yeah. like
conveniently
very
oh.
specifically like they were like there was a man with a beard. I mean, he had this beard. And I was like, what the fuck? And then like I looked up from like my video game that I was playing while watching this. And I was like, oh, they're just doing a racism. I see. All righty. It's dog whistle.
Yeah,
here
it was
we
very
go.
Obvious, but it was just funny that they're like, they're scared to say it.
So these four people, one of them was an older man with a beard and his a young person who they said was maybe his child, which that, first of all, doesn't fit the bill of any of the other nine. Like, there weren't
yeah,
any teenagers
the
or anything.
That, no.
Yeah.
Also, like,
no,
their
these
claim.
These were all adults who had trained for a long, long time.
And the claim about, like, the child was 6 or 7 years old.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
7 years old.
So there was that. Then there was another, a businessman who was really sweaty. And then there was a person wearing a burqa. Or they, one person said burqa, one said hijab. And then I was like, are those two different things?
They showed
sure.
the burqa and
they
the B-roll.
They are two different
yeah,
things.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
what I thought.
100%.
The hijab is just a head covering, right?
Yeah,
yeah, that's just the hair. And so they showed a burqa in the B-roll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a burqa in the B-roll the whole time.
But one of them did say hijab, which threw me off. I was like, wait, am I the dumb one?
Well, you didn't know either. So you're in the same boat. But and then they kept saying that they had hairy knuckles.
Yeah. Which
but they didn't show the hairy knuckles, which I was kind of bummed about that. I was like, can we get a zoom in?
They really should have done a reenactment of the hairy knuckle.
I feel like it was Robin Williams. That's who was underneath the burqa.
And then I looked.
Famous crossdresser.
Then I looked down at my own hands and got very concerned about my relationship to hijacking. But then I remembered that I'm Italian, and that explains the
As I heard it, I have to say it, I immediately started running through my head of like, well, I know a bunch of chicks with hairy knuckles. And it put me in a weird place of thought to be like, I was listening, I was like, could have been her. You know, but like, it was a very strange thought line that I was put into.
Where was Sarah on 9/11?
It was crazy that there was some, they can always tell stuff going on in this. Like I did not expect there to be like some bizarre transphobic bullshit thrown into this movie, but I should have known that somehow they would manage. But they're just like, yeah, you know, you can't really tell what's under a burqa. You can't, you know, it was cinched really tight around the face. It's like, yeah, that's what they do. That's the whole thing. Like,
that's like, the point. All you could see was their eyes. Like,
That's right. Exactly how, mm-hmm.
So the next piece of evidence presented is that they didn't have enough vegetarian options. They only had two fruit trays and there was four vegetarian, like all four of these people were not meat eaters. And so the way they
They really were like, you know, they didn't eat meat, trying to imply. And it's like, Muslims eat meat.
Yeah. I thought the same thing.
They just don't eat pork. Yeah. Did you know that? Fox News and TMZ investigate.
They were like, this is America, so we were going to serve hot dogs on the plane.
And a gun.
Not kosher all beef either. Like, what?
So the way that they presented this is that they informed these four passengers, we don't have enough fruit trays for all of you. And then one of them was like, I don't care. Like, just take off. Which, here's the thing. As somebody who's been on a plane that has been taken too long, if you came up to me and told me, hey, this, we don't have food, like, we can either wait an hour for somebody to bring a fucking cart here, or we can just take off and you can eat when you land, I'd be like, take off, take off, take off, take off. I don't want to be on this fucking plane any more than I have to. But they were presenting it as like they really wanted to get into the air. It's like, yeah dude.
Okay, so there is that wild story of the guys in flight school who only paid for the portion of the class that teaches taking off and not landing. Yeah. Have you heard that? That's wild.
It's wild that they offer that.
Yeah, why, first of all, like, why is that? Is that like that is specifically hijacker school? Like, yeah, what?
I forget how. I mean, I'm not wording it like fully. There was some part of it.
We'll cover the landing.
It was like when you work for Home Depot and do online training. Like, they skipped those parts of it. Like, they just were like, I don't need the landing stuff.
Well, see, it's a bad strategy. Because from the flight school's perspective, they're like, okay, people, like, once they come here, they start the course. Sometimes if we just teach them how to land on day one, that's all they need. They won't keep coming back. So
it makes all the sense in the world.
Your wings are like literally up in the air.
Oh,
until
you got
the last
wings.
Day. Wait, what?
Oh, they're eating, so I thought that there was wings.
Kenny, what you got?
Kettle chips.
Just some chips. What's the deal?
I heard wings. I'm hungry. I fucked up the whole thing.
So that's basically it. Is that like they told one of the passengers that they wouldn't be able to eat, and the guy said, "I don't care. Let's just take off." And they framed that as if like he wanted to take off because he wanted to crash the plane. Like,
I'm not sure about the statute of limitations. But in 2013, I once smoked a cigarette on an airplane.
That's so fucking cool.
Yeah, that's one of the most brave things I've ever done. That's, yeah. I feel like I should be remembered for that. I want them to name that charge after me.
Never forget.
Never forget.
And the thing is, too, like, that was another example of them being like, there is no other reason that this could have been happening. And it's like, or maybe they just like weren't really that hungry and didn't and like ate something in the airport and didn't want to hold up 200 people on a flight out of JFK that was probably already fucking delayed, like over a fucking fruit plate that wasn't going to be good and was all going to taste like cantaloupe anyways. Like, I also would have been like, all right, so let's just get the fuck out of here. Like, I don't need this fruit plate. The sooner we take off, the sooner I can get not a fruit plate in our destination.
I get that. Okay, so we've shit on the documentary. Now, here's my question, okay. without triggering an Islamic panic. But what
not
was
an Islamic panic?
Don't start. I don't want to trigger that. However, what was the most eyebrow-raising thing that you saw from the documentary? Like, of the whole thing, what was like, wow, that is interesting? Was there any moment like that?
The only thing was when they talked about the box cutters on the other plane. I was like, why is this documentary not about that plane?
Yeah.
Where something
that's
actually
exactly
was maybe
what
going
I was hoping
on.
Somebody would say. That is 100% what I was hoping somebody would say. Like, that was interesting to me.
Because that is I was gonna say, hold on, we have one more piece of evidence, but that's it, is that there were box cutters on a different plane.
Like, don't forget though,
smoking gun is in somebody
they hit the gun
hand.
In the bathroom, dude. They got the wrong guy from The Godfather.
These hijackers were so good they hid their weapons on another plane. Like, what?
The people on the first four, the hijackers on the first four planes pulled it off without a hitch. The hijackers on the fifth plane put the box cutters on the wrong plane. Like, they were sitting there like getting ready to take off. Like, God, we really messed this up, man.
Bro,
we told you
they
not
went
to
four
let-
for five. Give them some credit.
We told you.
Yeah, you know what? You gotta hand it to them.
Yeah. They're like, we told you not to let your brother be involved. 7-year-olds can't decide their gender, and they can't be hijackers either.
Mom, we want to hijack a plane. We have hijackings at home. That was the fifth plane.
I just want to draw attention to a couple of other things that they said that were highly inaccurate. One was that they made the big deal out of the sweating guy, and they were like, you know, airplanes are very cold.
Nope.
Once they're in the air, they're usually kind of cold, but when they're on the ground, I'm always sweating on the airplane.
So fucking sweaty, yeah.
Yeah, especially if you're like sitting there, just waiting.
Yeah, like when you're waiting for an airplane to take off, it's hot as fuck. What the fuck are you talking about? And then second, they made a big deal out of the guy wanted his kid to see the pilot's cabin, and they were like, you know, you can't go in the pilot's cabin. That rule was instituted after 9/11 response to 9/11.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's wild. We were just letting kids like it's the neighborhood fire truck.
No, literally it was like, well, yeah, it was like the neighborhood fire truck. Literally back in the day, it was totally normal for people to just be like, hey, my little kid wants to see the pilot's
the
cabin for a second.
What a time, dude. I want to go back to that place.
And they would just be like, oh yeah, come here, Billy. Take a look at this, you know, and like let the kid like check out the cockpit for a minute. And that was completely normal on airplanes for a long ass time. You'll notice that they mentioned they didn't even have a locking door for the cockpit at that time. Things like that were instituted after 9/11. So there was like the amount of lies being told was just infuriating after a certain point. I just really had
didn't,
to. Like,
didn't they say that at one point, like after they had realized that 9/11 was happening and they weren't taking off anymore, didn't the captain say that they were like hiding behind the cockpit door with like an axe or something?
Yeah, like, an improvised
weapon. Yeah, and they barricaded
weapon.
The door with suitcases because, again, commercial airplane cockpits didn't lock back then. Because it was a different fucking time. These people are acting like every post 9/11 rule just applies retroactively to all of the past.
That was definitely the Harrison Ford segment of the training, though. Because that chick grabbed a fire extinguisher. And was like, I was like, whoa, you're going to swing that at one of the guys? That's wild.
That would be gnarly to hit somebody with. Like, that's not like that. You're not going to feel good about that, even if you save your own life. You're going to feel weird about that after.
Yeah,
well, we would have honored her at every seventh inning stretch of every baseball game for all of eternity. So it kind of would have been a win.
You know?
The one other thing that they present is that apparently, after the plane was evacuated and everybody was like cleared from the airport, a couple of people were seen on the plane, like rummaging through, which running through. I have a question
also,
about this.
They were maybe seen, maybe. Let's be clear.
That's my question is that this happened after the plane was evacuated. Who the fuck was there to see it? Nobody was like standing outside on the tarmac like 3 hours after 9/11 happened. Everybody
was
left.
That long after?
Like, when would it have been? Like,
I don't know if it was right after.
They don't account for the freaking the mechanic.
Yeah.
Like the mechanic explicitly says, okay, everybody else off. I'm going to lock everything down and you know, shut the plane down.
You don't have to go home, like, but you can't stay here.
And then they're like, we saw someone running and the hatches were open. It's like, yeah, there was the mechanic fucking did that.
Yeah.
Right.
What are you talking about? Like,
right.
Like if you thought you saw more than one person running while you were standing on the ground looking up at the airplane, it was probably the optical illusion of just one guy moving around in there and like having some reflections or something. Because you're not going to see clearly from the ground
into
like,
the porthole of a plane.
Yeah, no. I don't. It's very, very shaky stuff.
And in light of what Trevor was saying before about the guy that like lived with the hijackers and tried to tell the FBI and couldn't get the meeting, this pilot called the FBI the day called the FBI and reported to the FBI that they had seen someone running inside the plane after everyone had been deplaned. And the FBI immediately interviewed everyone that had been working on the plane. Like, immediately.
Yeah.
They were like, we weren't concerned about this when you were trying to tell us the hijacking was going to happen. But now that it's been hijacked, when you want to tell us that you suspect people who didn't hijack anything of being hijackers, we're on it.
Okay, so I've been waiting to pepper this in.
Okay.
And there hasn't there hasn't been a place that it fit, and nor is that place here. But do you know about Operation Able Danger?
No.
Okay, this is a real thing that has maybe been like you can interpret it however you want, but they had a big thing that was said right after this was from the FBI. Bush was on TV saying it all the time about how never in our wildest dreams could we imagine that someone would take four airplanes and try to fly them into our precious buildings, you know, two beautiful buildings. And the thing is, they did imagine that. In fact, it was like a common drill, and they were running war games on the day of hijackings. Like, so in other words, wow, we have fighter jets that can intercept. Like, if we tried to get a plane, we would never. Oh, talk about the Three Stooges, dude. We would never get it done. Yeah, it would be a nightmare, dude. But they were apparently...
it would make for a better documentary.
It would make for a fantastic documentary. But they flew these planes out of the way.
Kennedy and I could get a plane.
Yeah, but then what do you do with it? You didn't take landing school. But
just fly it around above a Walmart like that guy.
Yeah. All up and down the coast. All up and down the coast, there's different fighter jets positioned for when this happens, and they have drills where they reposition them and reroute them, and it happens where flights go off radar and get lost, and instantly they send up fighter jets. The reason the fighter jets didn't get after any of the four planes that did take flight were because they were flying to go get fake drill planes that were hijacked. So they're like, we have a hijacking. They were flown out over the Atlantic Sea while this was happening on exercises, while real hijackings were taking place, which is crazy. And that's why I don't trust anything the FBI says, because it's like a part of it, you know?
Do you think that...
Can you imagine you're out there doing a drill for a hijacking, and then somebody's calling you like, hey, there's been a real hijack, and you think you're getting like pranked or something, you know? You're like, knock it off, Steve. You do this every time we go out. You're always like, is a real hijacking this time, guys? It's not a joke.
I keep getting yelled at because I believe you and I go somewhere else. Then I'm in trouble for being in the wrong place.
Well, Yins are a little younger than me, so you may not actually remember this, but before the, you know, catastrophic terrorist attacks on September 11th, 2001, prior to that, 9/11 every year was like a second April Fool's Day.
I was like, wait a minute. We're the same age. I was like, I don't remember doing that at all.
I was like, hold on here. No.
I don't remember that.
I would remember that.
Here's the thing. That was my prank, and it worked.
Good
Nailed
job.
It. Happy 9/11.
Happy April 11th, 9. Do you think that the hijackers who were living on military bases, did they know that the drills were going to be that day? Is that a part of it?
Well, I mean, this is where it gets so muddy, because it's like what Andrew said, like there's so many people who would have to be involved in this. But if I would have brought my burnt DVD, it would all make way more sense. Like, this is why I have trouble talking about conspiracy theories, because I'm not that bright. So, like, I'll get to talking about it, and my brain is filled with Swiss cheese holes, and I'll just be like, you got to watch the thing and then make your opinion.
I feel a lot like the right now, like the time that my father-in-law was taking us to a mall in Indiana, and then halfway there turned around so we could go back home so I could watch the Zapruder film.
That is a great day, dude. What a day.
Like, I was like, I'm trying to go to the Sephora inside JCPenney in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and now I'm going to watch the Zapruder film.
Was that your first viewing?
Yeah.
Wow. How many times have you watched it since?
None.
Oh, you're missing out.
She hasn't gone back and to the left and watched it again.
Just the six to ten times he rewound and made me rewatch it that day.
Yes, dude. Kevin Costner, the great one.
I will say this, that like something that makes me that like whenever I've, because there's other things that I've heard that there was like, oh, there were drills happening on the same day or like in the same place. And I'm not even going to say that that's like that I'm entirely discounting that. But like what I do think is at least semi plausible is that the United States military is so huge and vast that
they're running drills every day.
Yeah. And so it's actually probably harder to find a day where we weren't running any drills than to find one where we are. And if you have the ability to be like, oh, well, they were doing drills on this day, then you can kind of just like fill in the blanks on what exactly was going on, the details of it. So like maybe there were some planes out doing some flights through the Atlantic. That doesn't necessarily mean that like, oh, they, the 9/11 was done with the knowledge that the planes wouldn't be there. It could just be a coincidence. That doesn't, the things that do make me like the fact that we had, what the fuck? What was the bill that George Bush dropped like 3 days after 9/11? The Patriot Act. The fact that we had the Patriot Act ready to go, that's more concerning to me than like, was there or was there not drills being run that day? Is that like, we were kind of waiting for something to happen. And I would even say, maybe they didn't think it would be this bad.
Yeah, yeah. Eight months before, they had written a project for a new American century, which was done by a conservative think tank consisting of its members being all members of H.W. Bush's cabinet and all like members of the current, or not current at the time, current administration. Like Cheney was on it. Rumsfeld was on it. The gang, you know, whole gang was on it. And on it, it said, we would like to implement all this foreign policy, et cetera, pretty much everything that did take place. And they said in the report released 8 months before 9/11, this is a direct quote. They said, we would like to accomplish all this during our first term if elected. However, it would be very difficult to achieve, barring some catastrophic event, for example, a new Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
And then they got in and got a new Pearl Harbor, and they wrote that prior. And like, again, who knows?
That kind of makes sense though. Cause like, if you're sitting there, you're like, we want to like consolidate power. We want to do this shit.
Yeah.
And like,
we want to go over to the Middle East.
And you're like, man, people have been like way less into us going to war since like, it's
war
been
weary.
Fading since World War II. Man, if only we could get another Pearl Harbor. And like, so that kind of makes sense.
Here, maybe it wasn't a false flag attack to get us to go over to a never-ending war in the Middle East.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Possibly.
I'm willing to entertain that idea, but it wouldn't be the first false flag attack in history.
Fair, yeah. Like, so, like Gulf of Tonkin and
there
shit.
We go. This is how you got to sell people on conspiracies. I nailed that one, dude. You got to just be like, maybe. Because like, it's not the craziest thing I've ever heard.
The one way to shoot yourself in the foot on that, though, is to then say, this is how you sell people on conspiracy.
Yeah. Buy my Hustlers University package for picking up conspiracy victims.
Is he still teaching from inside Romanian prison?
I was going to say that
I would take the course at this point.
You could throw in with that.
I was going to say that like flight school that only is takeoffs but no landings is a Hustlers University class. So I'm glad Hustlers University got brought into the situation.
Yeah. I like how you put on the sunglasses right after the supplements comment, like a Thug Life meme. Here's it right on. Why don't you sell some supplements while you're at it, conspiracy nerd? Threw on the shades.
Hell yeah. So we get to the end of this documentary.
Ready to leave the house. That's all.
Nice.
And as we said, like this documentary, it used like a couple, like not even evidence, just like, oh, these things were like kind of spooky in retrospect, I guess. And now we are trying to get back pay because we couldn't keep our jobs because we were so distressed. And it's like, man, I can imagine being a pilot, and even if nothing like this happened on, like, I can imagine being traumatized from being a flight attendant. On
I was 9/11. Traumatized. I was just an English student, you know,
like being on the ground, knowing that this was happening and like looking around the plane. I can almost get that. But like to then 20 years later, be like, no, we were going to die.
Yeah. To try to jump in line over the actual first responders who were told the air was safe down there. And actually do have a claim where they deserve a lot of money. You know what I mean? Like there's a conspiracy from the day.
I was going to say, like, one of the things I thought while watching it was that these people were like having a lot of stolen valor for like being like, imagined almost victims of like what would.
It's the like guy pointing at himself in the mirror meme, and it's like you were a victim of 9/11. You know,
they like Munchausen syndrome themselves into 9/11.
They're like, I would have been hijacked, but I don't have arches in my feet, so I can't march. Like these are draft dodgers of the
basically like Mark Wahlberg themselves are like, no, I mean, if we were up in the air, it wouldn't have gone down like that. I had my fucking little axe. And that's the other thing. The pilot said he had an axe that was in the cockpit. Did all the other 9/11 pilots just not use their cockpit axes? Like
that was his personal axe.
Well, they threatened. They said.
So again, people
they said
were
they
allowed.
Had bombs. So they were like, "Oh, I'll put my axe down." But hold on, real quick,
also,
before we jump.
People were allowed to access the cockpit back then, and a lot of this was done so quickly it was hard for anyone to respond. Like these folks were getting the news. There have been hijackings, and they were like preparing their axe. You know what I mean?
Mm. Well,
like
on top
the
of
first
all this,
person to get hijacked didn't get any warning.
Are you
right?
Are you trying? It was 9/11.
But are you really trying to tell me that you think they would have been able to take over those planes with Mark Wahlberg on them? Because there's no way, dude.
He gets up at like 4 in the morning.
He doesn't sleep. You're not getting the plane if Wahlberg's on there, dude.
Wahlberg would just be, you know, he's just walking back to his seat and just, you know, like in like a show like Sherlock or something, when everything slows down and they're absorbing all the information, Mark Wahlberg would be like, sweaty guy, box cutters.
Child.
He would have counted the fruit plates before he even got to his fucking seat, dude.
Mark Wahlberg improvs push-ups in movies. He's like, they're like, okay, now in this scene, you're going to answer the phone. He's like, what if I was doing push-ups when it rang? And then it's like, you're not getting past him.
Okay, so time for a little bit of wild speculation before we get out of here. So,
yes.
Flight 93, I think that was probably headed towards the White House, right?
I think so, yeah.
I think
it was definitely shot down. Well, definitely.
It
was headed towards D.C., though. At the very least. So either White House, Congress, something like that.
Somewhere.
Where was number
the
five going?
Plane, we have no idea.
I've wanted to ask so bad, but that's I had so many inappropriate responses that I didn't. Because I was picking, this is just how my brain works. I was like, okay, if I were a 9/11 hijacker, where would I take the plane? And I've been pushing that down this whole episode. I was like, I can't ask that.
Well, now you can.
It's such a strong hypothetical, dude. Where would I take that, dude? Maybe to the mall in Fort Wayne, Indiana, where nobody wants to watch the Zapruder film. I don't know where.
You know, you have to look at it like, the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, the White House, these are all major nerves for the country. So you got to hit some kind of similar nerve of the country, which is why the mall in Fort Wayne, Indiana is an obvious logical choice.
TMZ headquarters.
Wow, can you imagine? TMZ would have never been able to make this documentary in that reality. Think about that.
Wild.
Really make you think.
If you could go back in time, would you kill baby TMZ?
I'd show it 21 Jump Street at the very least.
Where do you think it would have gone, though? Like, what is the next spot?
Yeah, because, like, I don't know. You can't have three in one city and two in the other. So it's obviously going to go to a different city.
I think it was going to Trump Tower.
Oh, damn.
Dude, can you imagine the fucking Joker arc of Trump if his building got hit on 9/11?
Oh, my God.
You've heard him talking on 9/11. He's like, I think my tower is now the tallest one in New York. I think it is now.
Yeah. Yeah. He also talked about, he's a big part of the 9/11 thing, dude. He promised he was going to investigate 9/11 on InfoWars during 2015 in the lead up, dude. That's, I mean... Bro, he had me lean in one way there for a minute. I was like, what else can you promise me? Yeah, dude, that's a September surprise. But that's he also was on there talking about how he's been inside the buildings and how they're made of big steel.
Yeah.
Big steel that could not have possibly melted. And I mean, that was like the day after he was talking about that already, dude.
I listened to the Alex Jones episode from September 11th, 2001.
Yeah, I've done that.
He was just like talking about, now you need to buy gold more than ever.
I wonder if it's gone up since then, though. It's probably gone up.
Here's the thing. I hate to admit it, but I was also listening to Alex Jones from early 2020 because, like, I wanted to, like, see how many times he contradicted himself early on in the COVID.
Yeah,
shit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hilarious to watch.
But yeah, he's all over it.
He was talking a bunch about gold sales, and he named like gold's at like $680 right now. It's going to go up. And I was like, okay. So I went and I looked it up. Gold's like $1,500 now. It's like more than doubled. I'm like, I should have listened to Alex Jones.
Dude, I say this, I tell this joke all the time to people, but like I always say, I like Alex Jones the same way I like Weezer. I'm into the early stuff. Because like,
but
he
once
used
he
to
destroyed
have,
your sweater, you were over it.
Yeah, he's had well, the new stuff is just kind of weird and not like the old stuff. But
honestly,
like,
it's a little weak. He doesn't have the sauce anymore. He doesn't have the sauce.
Yeah, it's too much production. You want him with like the bare bones in the garage, you know?
The gay frog siphoned the sauce.
100%. He was so much different though, like 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
he
so
did
was
good
I.
work with. Yeah, yeah, that makes sense, dude. We've all grown. You know, this has been a journey, but
right. I was 8.
he broke the Waco story in very interesting ways. I don't know where everybody stands on stuff like that, but like, I
Waco,
feel, yeah,
made up,
100%. Thank you. Alex Jones said it was real, so he was wrong again. Another one he whiffed on.
Should have invested in Waco back in the '90s. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't know where the fifth plan. Maybe Philadelphia. Hit that Liberty Bell.
See if it makes a noise still.
Does a cracked bell still ring?
Where? I mean, Philadelphia, maybe. I was going to say Disney World, but
Disney
like,
World's
what are
a
you,
good one, yeah.
Yeah, that would really
just
pull
crash,
on the heartstrings.
Crash a plane into Magic Mountain?
Bro, if you crash a plane into Disney World, everyone's going to be putting flags on their porch again. You know, that is it. Maybe they would have done something out in L.A. just to show, like, total.
I thought that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, that's where the...
Maybe they would have just landed it at the Denver airport.
Well, I was about to say, I feel like something was going to happen with the Denver airport and you beat
me to it. And then FBI surrounds the plane. They open it up. No one's inside. Nobody at all.
Damn. D.B. Cooper's in there alone. And it's like, and it's just Catch Me If You Can 3 or whatever. What was that? I mean, Now You See Me 3. It's just Jesse Eisenberg and D.B. Cooper. And they take
just
a bow
in the plane, like, hey, you thought you'd seen the last of us, huh?
And then they're like, "Is this your card?" Fuck yeah!
What? What? One other thing about the documentary on the whole is that, like, they do talk about like the fact that the 9/11 commission didn't include any of this in their like official report on 9/11, and they're talking about it like that's definitely evidence that there's more to the story, and like I was just like, or there's evidence that there was no fucking story, like there actually wasn't anything to report on with this because it was a bunch of racist bullshit that literally people named Sandy and Barb, two white women, their names
have changed a few times. I think there was a Deb at one point.
No. Okay. So the two of them, actually Sandy and Barb, and then the third one who was the...
Purser.
She wanted to be identified by a name that was not her own.
And she picked...
And the name was Deborah.
Damn.
We are dealing with some shopping mall racists. They are mall walkers.
That means her real name is Karen. Yeah. She's like, that, you cannot put Karen in this documentary.
I've been getting shit for 2 straight years. Don't even.
That senator even gives away the game because he's like, they have that former senator who was on the 9/11 commission. He's like, yeah, they wanted us to put this report out really quickly, and there was an insane amount of information to try to go through. I'm sure we missed some stuff. And it's like, they're like, oh, I'm sure we missed some stuff. But it's like, well, it's like, no, you should have listened to the whole statement, though. Like, you know?
The 9/11 commission report reads like Goodnight Moon. It's like, it is really bare bones. They left a lot. Have you read it?
No.
Okay, so neither have I, but no. but the type of person I am, I think it's total bullshit. I read the back flap and the about the author and was like, well, I'm not believing a word of this.
Bunch of crap.
I know you don't listen to the show, but have you read it? No, neither have I is the most worst we get statement I've ever heard.
That was a great job. That was a you did great.
That's fantastic.
I had one other thing to say about the documentary that I forgot is that they're like, we Freedom of Information acted for the names of the passengers and they said no. Or like they tried to get more information and they couldn't. Like that's the one thing that could maybe help your case.
The end of the movie was like them being like, we sent our erotic fan fiction about 9/11 to an FBI investigator and he didn't reply. and it's like, yeah, I wouldn't reply either, dude.
But they,
like,
they did not include the part where Miles Kara, who like worked on analyzing 9/11, specifically said like there was no fifth plane. They didn't mention that part.
But they did.
Michael
include,
Sarah like, said that. What was his name?
Miles Kara.
Who is that?
He worked on the 9/11. He was like a staffer who worked on the 9/11 commission report.
Huh. Oh, I'm going to have to go back and check that
also,
top drawer.
Before we get out of here, I just want to draw attention to one tiny thing, which was in the credits. It really seemed like some of those names were fake. Like, it really seemed like some people were like, yeah, I can't really attach myself to this. Because there were some, like, porn star-sounding-ass names in the credits of this. Like, Clancy Spragoo was the one that stood out to me the most.
Clancy
Spragoo! I was like, Clancy Spragoo, I'm sorry. I don't believe that's a real name.
9/11 Smith.
Ferdinand 9/11.
Niles 11.
Fuck yeah. So I believe every word of it.
Never forgetty. No, Nev. You Nev. Know, just drop
no,
the
yeah, R. No, Nev. Nev forgetty.
Nev forgetty. Nev R forgetty.
Damn. That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Well, fuck yeah. Trevor, thank you for joining us here on this little 9/11 bonus episode.
This was fun, dude.
Yeah, it was a good time. Why don't you tell folks where to find you here?
Wow. I'm trying to think if I even want your people on my COVID denial page. I can't even. Yes, I do. I do. I love a good light argument in the morning. Yeah, come to Trevor Austin Comedy on Instagram, Trevor Austin Comedy. And yeah,
leave
hateful comments. Please. I'm into that.
Fuck yeah. Well, you know where to find Deanna Kennedy and I, and you know, thank you so much for supporting the show, and I hope you have a great day. Bye.
Bye.